the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and professional success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner for vets. I'm flying solo today. So today I want to talk about the student loan chaos and just the continued saga. We are still in limbo with the SAVE court actions, awaiting a decision. Most people on the SAVE forbearance are going to want to stay on it unless they are going for forgiveness and want to switch to IBR to resume making progress toward forgiveness. In that case, you would be required to go ahead and recertify your income when switching to IBR. There are a lot of people out there who are really just sitting tight at this point, awaiting that decision. I did want to talk today about the House Reconciliation Bill and how it might affect student loans. This bill is, as crazy as it sounds, is actually officially called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. It was passed by the House, but it's likely to go through some revisions before being passed by the Senate. So let's dive into the student loan changes in the bill, because there are some sweeping changes that affect both existing borrowers and also future borrowers as well. Keep in mind as I'm going through this that the Senate still has to pass this. It's not official yet, but there are a lot of changes that we do need to talk about here. There is a new GOP plan that would be a new student loan repayment plan, and it's called the RAP plan. So RAP stands for Repayment Assistance Plan. For the majority of veterinarians, that would be a plan that would be 10% of your income over a 30-year time frame. There is a $50 a month principal subsidy. So we've been used to, with other plans like the SAVE plan, having an interest subsidy. This is actually the first plan that would have a subsidy related to the principal of the loan, but it's only $50 a month. One thing that's really unusual is that, unlike with repayment plans in the past, where you could switch, for example, from the IBR plan to the SAVE plan or repay plan, you could switch from the pay plan to IBR, etc. With this plan, you would actually be locked in for 30 years and you would not be allowed to switch plans, at least as it's written today. Some preliminary calculations that I've run for a few veterinarians show that it might be a lower payment in early career, but that same veterinarian would have a higher payment later in their career, and it would cost more overall, both because it's a 30-year plan and also because of the way that it's calculated. So that's something important to keep in mind. Really, anytime we have a plan that is over a longer time frame, because of course the existing plans are 20 to 25 years and this plan is 30 years, anytime we have a plan that's over a longer time frame, the first thing that you have to be concerned about is, okay, is that going to cost me more over time? A lot of times the answer would be yes, but of course, there are some nuances and it'll be important to actually have calculations done if this plan does go through. The other thing that's really important to know is that if this bill passes as is, what they would do is they would take a number of existing repayment plans. So the new IBR plan, the pay plan, the SAVE plan, they would all become the IBR plan for existing borrowers, which is the same as the old version of IBR. So that plan is a 25-year plan that is 15% of discretionary income. And so what it would do is it would get rid of any of the 20-year plans, unfortunately, for folks who went to graduate school, so vet students. So it would get rid of those 20-year plans for veterinarians, and you would really only be left with the 25-year version of IBR or that 30-year RAP plan, unfortunately. These are changes that would affect both existing borrowers as well as future borrowers. Let's also talk about how this bill could affect future classes of veterinary students. Importantly, there is a $150,000 limit on professional school in this bill. And there's an active thread about this on the Debt Free Vets Facebook group as I'm recording this. But it's really important to know that, unfortunately, this would absolutely, if there's a $150,000 limit on professional school, all of the vet schools cost more than that to attend as it stands today. So this would absolutely make it more difficult for poor students, lower middle class students, and some middle class students to actually go to vet school. We're talking about future classes of students being limited to only being able to borrow $150,000 from the federal government, and otherwise they'd have to take out private loans, which are often very difficult to get when you're a student because you don't have an income. So then we're looking at people having to have co-signers for private loans in order to get through vet school and borrow enough money to go to vet school. So this is a huge, huge concern. And so if it passes as is, and who knows, I mean, the Senate might increase the borrowing limit so that it's not just $150,000. If it passes as is, the concerns that are out there about how this bill could change the character of the veterinary profession, those concerns are really valid. And there are some spirited discussions on the Facebook group. And those of you who are interested in taking action and perhaps changing someone's mind, definitely look at contacting your senators. I'm seeing some folks have some debates with their colleagues and start to argue a little bit. And, you know, you can have those discussions as well. But certainly writing to your senators, contacting your senators is more likely to be a productive use of that time. Let them know how you feel about the proposed limits. Another thing to know is that related to what I was just talking about with that $150,000 limit, the bill would get rid of grad plus loans. So right now you've got, for vet school, the direct unsubsidized loans, and then you have grad plus loans that you can borrow up to the cost of attendance. So the direct unsubsidized loans do have a limit on them, and then you borrow the rest in grad plus loans. So the $150,000 limit would actually be on the direct unsubsidized loans. The reason I'm making that distinction is that it is important to know that if you have been accepted to vet school this year and you're starting this fall, there would be, at least as it's written today, there would be a 3-year exception where students who are already enrolled in vet school would be allowed to continue borrowing grad plus loans for another 3 years. So if you're a second year student, third year student, fourth year student, you would still be allowed to borrow those grad plus loans. And so it's really the next year's incoming vet school class, so the vet school class starting in 2026, that we would expect to be really affected by this. So you'd be allowed to, if you're already in vet school or you just got in this year, you would be allowed to finish out your program if already enrolled, and you'd be allowed to take out the loans that you need for school. But for future students, it is a really big concern. Another thing to know about this bill, there's a misconception out there that this bill is ending public service loan forgiveness. It is not. So if you are going for PSLF, there is nothing in the bill about repealing PSLF on a broad scale. It does mention that PSLF eligibility would end for medical residents and dental residents. I'm not sure yet how or if it would impact veterinary residents. So it's not clear about that. It does not specify. Otherwise, PSLF would continue as before for vets who are in government roles, nonprofit roles. If you work for a university, if you work for a shelter or humane society, you would still be able to get PSLF. That is not changing based on this bill. And so what do you do? You know, there's a lot of just, okay, what do I do? And unfortunately, a lot of folks are still in a holding pattern because this bill is still being discussed. It has not been passed by the Senate. We do expect that there will be more updates by July. And we're still waiting on a decision through the Save Court actions as well. So if you're on IBR, if you're on pay, there's really nothing to do right now. There's nothing to change. Just keep making your student loan payment. If you are on save, most people are going to want to sit tight and stay on the save forbearance, unless there is a reason that you want to just go ahead and change repayment plans so that you can resume making progress toward forgiveness. Maybe if you're going for PSLF, you would be more inclined to do that. But otherwise, sitting tight is okay. If you're going for PSLF, you can keep your employment certification up to date. Make sure you get all the credits that you are due for PSLF for your qualified employment. Otherwise, sit tight. And likely, if you were eligible for public service loan forgiveness before, you will still be eligible moving forward. Continue to stay informed, just in general. Look out for folks like myself who are digging into the details on this, reading relevant portions of the bill that is over 1,000 pages to help keep you informed. One source that I want to mention is Adam Minsky. He is a student loan lawyer who writes for Forbes, and his articles are always a great read. And then what not to do. So number one, don't change your strategy because of what might happen. I know that's hard, but if you are going for forgiveness, don't change your strategy because of things that haven't even happened yet. If you got into vet school, I've heard people who are saying, gosh, you know, I'm worried about this $150,000 limit, and I got into vet school, and I definitely understand being concerned about that. However, it is possible that this year could be the last year, you know, if this passes as is. If you got into vet school this year, this could be the last year that you could enter vet school and actually be able to borrow as much as you had planned when you first applied to vet school. This could be the last year you could borrow as much as you need for vet school without having to worry about borrowing private loans. And so don't change your career plans based on this, at least at this point. I've had people ask, well, should I refinance my federal student loans and just make them private loans? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The rates for refinancing right now are not very good. And federal loans still have federal protections. They still have access to forgiveness plans. It might not be all of the same plans as before, but what we know for sure is that private loans do not have access to those plans and that you would have to pay them to zero regardless. So just don't change your entire strategy because of what might happen when those things haven't happened yet, as hard as that can be. And I do understand that it's pretty nerve-wracking, you know, some of these changes that are coming through. A couple of other updates unrelated to this big, beautiful bill. Student loans are probably not moving to the Small Business Administration. So that was a big headline a couple months ago. There has been a recent court ruling blocking the transfer of the student loan portfolio to another agency, since legally that would require approval by Congress. I was looking at the text of the Big Beautiful Bill the other day, and I noticed something that I haven't heard anyone else talk about. So we had a recent podcast episode where we talked about the employer benefit for student loans. We talked about the $5,250, the $5,250 tax-free benefit that some people are getting through their employers, and we talked about how it's going to expire at the end of 2025. There's actually a provision in the bill that would extend the student loan employer benefit and actually increase it gradually long term. So look out for updates on that as well. Keep in mind, as far as any of these changes related to this bill, the Senate has to pass any of these updates as well before it would become law. And so revisions and further updates may be on the horizon. The Senate is going to come out with its own version of the bill. And so it's unclear because there is so much in this bill, right? It's a whole lot more than just student loans, right? Changes to Medicaid, Medicare, etc. It's unclear whether there will be any changes to the student loan pieces of the bill or what those changes might be. So just keep an eye out between now and July, and I will keep an eye out for those updates as well. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have some updates and an announcement coming soon that I'm excited about, so stay tuned. If you liked this episode, click the follow or subscribe button. And until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered individualized financial advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, it should not be considered a recommendation or endorsement to buy or sell the investment. All investments involve risk. Past performance does not guarantee future results. You are encouraged to seek the advice of a financial professional before implementing any investment strategies discussed. Yay, compliance.